Norfolk wildlife evangelist Nick Aitchison says beneath the sluggishness of August is a dynamo of a month.
August can seem a stagnant month. Crops harvested, grass brittle and brown, birds silent, even the air muggy and still. It feels, on the surface, as if nature is waxing fat and going nowhere. The truth is, though, that August, warm and sullen as it can be, is among our most dynamic months, with wild species undertaking astonishing journeys all around us. Some species' migrations are obvious. August is a peak month for wader migration, and gulls are on the move too. Green sandpipers can be found at farm ponds, scrapes and ditches all over the county now, as they leave their boreal summer grounds, where they breed high in conifers in the old nests of birds such as thrushes and crows, and head for the African winter. The common gulls which arrive with them may have bred on moors and braided rivers in Scotland or in coastal Scandinavia, and are likely to travel less far for winter. Thousands of these gentle-faced bandits spend the winter here in Norfolk, mugging black-headed gulls for food or swirling in squealing clouds after the plough. On the Wash, August's gatherings of waterbirds are more impressive still. This month, redknot, still in their copper plumage of the tundra, flood to our Norfolk mud and shore in their tens of thousands. With them come oyster catchers, dunlin, bar-tailed and black-tailed godwits, green and golden plovers, redshank and who knows what other waifs from the far Arctic reaches of our vibrant planet, broad-billed sandpiper, terek sandpiper, semi-palmated sandpiper, white-rumped sandpiper. They have all been here. For much of their time they are out on the mud, the great silty life-giving ooze of the Wash. But twice a day, high tide pushes these countless birds into the shore. On the very high tides, they reluctantly spill onto land, most notably to the pit at RSPB Snettisham. Here they can be studied, birders scanning heaving hordes of apricot-bellied knot to find rarer birds among them. Still more remarkable are the twisting, dividing, coagulating shapes the birds make above your head as they resist, for as long as possible, the need to leave their safe space on the Wash mud, or as hungering peregrines power through them, shuffling the flocks in search of weaknesses. Of one colour with the red knot is our farthest travelling butterfly, the Painted Lady. This dazzling patchwork of white, black and not copper has been known to migrate to the UK from Africa, in varying numbers each year. Butterflies reaching Norfolk in early summer mate and lay eggs here. They hatch to become thistle-chomping caterpillars, which, once pupated, emerge in August as British-born butterflies. However, though it can change as our climate unravels, the species does not survive our winter. Until the spectacular invasion of painted ladies in 2009, beautifully recorded in Patrick Barkham's The Butterfly Isles, it was suspected, but not proven, that these British butterflies migrated southwards in autumn. In 2009, a combination of radar evidence and observations by thousands of citizen scientists showed for the first time that they do indeed migrate southwards. That year, some 26 million of them are believed to have left the UK in August. Still more mysterious, to land-loving human minds at least, is fish migration. Yet August witnesses great shoals of mackerel thronging the shingle shore of North Norfolk, there to hunt bait fish. We are accustomed to seeing mackerel as dead-eyed things on clouds of supermarket ice, whereas in fact they are migrant super predators. Tiny tuna no less, ink-dappled, streamlined and deadly. My point is that the astonishing wildlife of Norfolk does not simply live here. We, our gardens, farms, nature reserves and streets, even our sea, are stopping points for wild beings on continent-spanning journeys. Our use of such spaces affects not only the wildlife which lives permanently in them. It affects innumerable migrant species too, which in turn affects thousands of species on land and water across the globe. To achieve anything in modern conservation, we need a joined-up vision, wide enough to embrace the lives of these wild pilgrims to our shores. At the Wildlife Trusts, our vision is of a nature recovery network. Nature reserves, wonderful as they are simply not enough. We need a landscape and seascape which are healthy, self-regulating and connected, for wild species to live in, to move through, and for ourselves to grow in. Our promise at the Wildlife Trusts is that we strive to deliver this nature recovery network, no matter the obstacles in our path, and with your continued support, we are sure that we can achieve it.